From the Moen Broadcast Center at KPCC, this is The Frame. I'm Julia Paskin, sitting in for John Horn. Thanks for joining us during our fall membership drive. Today, our guest for the entire show is actor Adam Driver.
Being that I was your kid brother, I let you lead me into trouble with all your crazy cauliflower plans. My life of crime is over.
I've never done Facebook. It's not my thing, see?
That's why I'm doing this new thing with it.
I'm going to start a profile and wait for people to contact me. Whoever the first person is from my childhood, someone I'm no longer in touch with, who contacts me, instead of responding to them on Facebook, see, I'm going to go find them in person.
Ron Stallworth, member in good standing for the year, Knights of the Ku Klux Klan.
That's us, Stallworth brothers.
We don't even know if Father Ferreira is alive or dead. The villagers never even heard of him.
I want that map. For your sake, I suggest you get it.
John Horn interviewed Adam Driver at the Telluride Film Festival, where the actor's career was honored. Martin Scorsese, who directed Driver in the 2016 film Silence, presented the award.
It's fortuitous for me to be here to present this to you. I mean, what you see before you is a great actor, a great screen presence, truly, gotta say it, one of the finest, if not the finest of his generation. Thank you.
Driver has two films coming out this fall, The Report, directed by Scott Burns, and Noah Baumbach's Marriage Story. Here's John and Adam Driver before an audience at Telluride.
Looking at just the selected roles that we saw in your reel, it's impossible to categorize them, but I'm wondering if there's a common denominator, even though the roles are really different, when you see a script or hear an idea and how it strikes you.
Well, it's a director's medium, so mostly the director is what I kind of first think of, because sometimes I don't understand the character, but I trust that maybe over time, hopefully before we start shooting, that something will come to me. And then usually sometimes we start, it'll be maybe a costume fitting that, something will sink in, and or even after we've already shot a week, an idea that now it starts to, a physical thing or something that was blocking me makes sense, and then it starts to, but there is definitely a moment, and it's different in every movie, when either it be the first time I read it, or sadly sometimes when it's over, where...
where you figure it out.
Right. Where you kind of when you get that. And that made sense to me too, also like, because I came from a theater background, and you do a play for 5 months, and eight shows a week, and suddenly the last performance always like, oh, if I could do it now I feel like I have a better understanding. But obviously you don't, that's not how movies work.
When you read something and you hear the character speak to you, and then you get on set, and maybe the director is hearing the character speak in a different way.
Yeah.
Is that hard to divorce yourself from how you have heard that voice speaking to you?
Yeah, you quit. No. You quit, you just leave. Especially if it's Marty, or no. Absolutely not. I feel like I've learned to not have a right answer about going on set. Like, I've learned to try to do as much research as you can, but I try not to have an idea that I impose on a set, because I always feel that closes me off to other choices. Like, you do your homework and do your research, but then show up and then have to be prepared that 6 months is down the drain. Because you never took into consideration the door opens out, or that your partner's drunk, or that that doesn't happen often, but there's just all, or just someone has a better idea, right. And you have to take ego out of it and be like, the most important thing is the thing overall, not my journey. It's not my job to have a feeling all the time. It's the audience's job to have a feeling. So why limit yourself by coming in with an idea that you're trying to impose on the other actors in the scene? And often I feel like the scene finds it out. Like, it's not all one thing, I guess, to answer your question.
How do you navigate your way as an actor who might have a certain way of working when the directors and maybe your fellow actors have different ways of working? How do you find the ground on which you're most comfortable and where you think you can act the most competently?
That's a good question, because it evolves with every person. So, and some directors, they're such visual storytellers that it's really hard for them to articulate what it is that they want from you, and that's fine. It's just a different way. Like Soderbergh, for example, will shoot things incredibly fast, and one or two takes. We had to do this scene in this movie called Logan Lucky, where I had to drive a car into a convenience store. And he's like, do you want to do it? I'm like, yeah. And he's like, well, we'll do it, but we only get to do it once. So then you start to get like, yeah, it's totally fine until they start counting down, like, you know, 10, 9, and the money and time that would we'd lose if, you know, if it had gone wrong really starts to enter into your mind. And then and then that's it. Then we did it once, and that was the only, but all of the scenes were kind of like that. He would pick up the camera. Typically, all those conversations that you would see the DP having with, you know, the director, you know, guy who's lighting it, and all those conversations are happening in his head. Plus, he's editing it as he goes along, too. So you're just kind of watching him, waiting for him to kind of set down the camera, and then everybody knows what's happening. And by the time you break for lunch, you've shot everything for the day. So, you know, it goes incredibly fast. And then there's other people that will shoot, you know, 14, 16 hours a day. You know, I've just learned to adjust. It's kind of similar to what I was just saying. The more you try to control something that's uncontrollable, then the more it's less fun.
You were recently doing Burn This, and I'm wondering, when you're doing a play and then going into film or television, what are the things that you might miss but retain as an actor who's doing a show in front of a different audience every night when you're not able to replicate that on a film set?
Yeah, it's a totally different thing. It's working with Noah, for example, he likes to do a lot of takes, and that actually feels more familiar to working on a play because, you know, the lines are the lines. There's no improv. This is what it is. You know, we're blocking it out, but the intention can be a million different things. And he structured the day smartly, so we have enough time to explore all the possibilities of what it could be. Not just arbitrarily, but I mean, sometimes, and then sometimes you have to rebel against him, and then and just do it the way you want to do it, just to shock yourself and shock the system, and then maybe come up with something better. But you know, it's like a whole run of a rehearsal, you know, truncated into a day. You know, which is I think rare with someone like Noah. And you're also rehearsing, you know, if you can, as much as you can before you start, just being prepared to give yourself time to explore all the options. And when you don't do that with like a Soderbergh, then I tend to have regret, you know, of like, you can't help but go home and imagine, oh, I had all these ideas that now, but then again, maybe those were bad ideas that were just, so I don't know anything. This tribute is a sham.
When we come back, more with actor Adam Driver, including how he's bringing the arts to the military. Welcome back to The Frame. I'm Julia Paskin, sitting in for John Horn. Let's get back now to John's conversation with actor Adam Driver at the Telluride Film Festival. Driver has two films coming out soon, Marriage Story, directed by Noah Baumbach, and The Report, about FBI agent Daniel Jones and his investigation into the CIA's use of torture.
They claim they saved lives, but what they really did was make it impossible to prosecute a mass murderer, because if what we did to him ever came out in a court of law, the case is over. The guy planned 9/11.
Here's John Horn talking with Adam Driver.
When you work with directors that you worked with before, like Noah or Jim Jarmusch, What does that give you in terms of familiarity? Obviously, you like the way they work as filmmakers, but what does it mean practically in terms of what you do, the conversations you have, the negotiations you might have? How does it evolve when you're somebody that you've done multiple films with?
Man, I could answer that for a long time, especially about those two people, Jim Jarmusch and Noah. Yeah, I've worked with Noah four times. This is the fourth time. And there's just something that our way of working, our work ethic is similar. In that they don't take it for granted that we're making a movie. That it has the potential to reach a place that is far away and either give language to a culture that's completely different than ours, and someone's paying a lot of money for us to be here right now for this amount of time to do this thing that will last forever. And, you know, we've labeled the feeling and how powerful that is. You know, why take that for granted? Why show up and kind of wing it, you know, or not consider what it is you're saying, and that no detail is too small. Now, obviously, there's traps in all of that, that you can get so worked up in details that you're trying to control everything and don't leave room for something that's more abstract. But with those people, they're brilliant writers and create a set, an environment on set where you're free to, you know, get all those things that you hope from people. You're free to get it wrong and you're free to explore. But really don't take it for granted. If I was trying to summarize it, which is kind of hard, they very much curated the people that they want to work with in front and behind the camera. And you feel like, as much as everything is both has meaning and is meaningless, we don't take it for granted. And finding people that have your same work ethic, that's a rare thing, I think. I just repeated myself three times.
No, you did not.
The best.
Show of hands, how many people are in Telluride for the Adam Driver double feature, Marriage Story and The Report? Wow, okay, that's about half the house. I'm going to ask you a quick question without spoiling either film. I want to ask you about Dan Jones and the CIA's post 9/11 detention and interrogation program, which a lot of people would call torture. They called it extreme rendition and other things.
Right.
What would you say about that film going into it without giving it away, about why that movie spoke to you and why you thought it was something you wanted to do?
I mean, the topic was something that I, embarrassingly didn't know anything about. And the original report is over 6,000 pages. The redacted version is just over 500, and our script was, 130. How do you tell that story as economically as possible, but not without leaving the humanity out of it? So that all of those things just seemed an opportunity to potentially bring a topic to light that has been in the dark, and that I was inspired by that. You hope there's people like that in a room alone, mm-hmm. toiling away for 6 years, with no support, trying to make a difference. And that relationship with something that you've grown up with, thinking that you can trust, and suddenly, you have to, not only do you feel like you're trying to make a moral judgment for the country, but internally as well. All those reasons why I wanted to do it.
But here's something where you can make a difference, and it is Arts and Armed Forces, which is the organization
that
you do with your wife, Joanne Tucker. For people who don't know, what is it, and why does it matter?
Joanne Tucker, my wife, and I started this nonprofit when we were second-year students at Juilliard, because I had just come from the Marine Corps, and I had noticed a change in myself that suddenly I was able to, through theater, articulate a feeling that I didn't have the language for, because it wasn't really part of my, growing up in Indiana. Not a slight to Indiana, but just wasn't the theatrical hub of the world. So, still not. Except the Round Barn Theater at we decided to create a project where we just brought theater. Initially, it was just theater to a military audience to kind of show the commonality between the military and artistic community, and there actually isn't such a divide. You have a group of people trying to accomplish a mission bigger than any one person. You have someone who's leading it, and when they know what they're doing, it feels like makes what you're doing necessary and relevant, and when they don't, it feels like a waste of time and dangerous, and you're forced to be intimate with people in a short amount of time. We take a play to a base, and we read it, and then we talk about it afterwards. No sets or costumes, no lights, and the response is pretty incredible. It's like you're at the forefront of watching someone experience a new art form. They're like, oh, this is what play is. I never could afford it before. It wasn't accessible to me. I didn't know theater was like that. I've been trying to express that, and now I can. Anyway, that's what we'd be doing. Thank you.
Last question. I think there are a lot of things that different people will take away from Marriage Story. One being, if you're thinking about going into family law, you might reconsider it. But what was the thing that you treasure about making this film with Noah and Scarlett?
Again, that could be a long answer that I know I should keep short. I mean, this movie is hard to talk about because it's very personal, and it was personal to all the people who made it collectively. And we talked about it, a couple years before we started, making it. And those conversations of what it's about or what were we trying to do are still happening, but how love can transition and how that can be a violent, not physically violent, but an internal violent thing, of you know someone kinetically, where, you know, it's everything, your way you were in a room or where you are together is second nature, then suddenly to divorce that, you know, from yourself, that could be painful, but maybe it's just transitioning into something different. And I thought that was a beautiful idea.
This is not a sham, Adam. Thank you
so
much.
No. Thank you.
Adam Driver's next movie, The Report, is out November 15th. Marriage Story opens December 6th. And that's it for The Frame this week. Thanks to Taylor McFerrin, who provides our opening theme music. Don't forget to tune in to The Frame Weekend, Saturday afternoon at 2. Thanks for listening, both on the radio and on demand. And thank you so much for supporting KPCC. I'm Julia Paskin. John Horn is back here Monday from the Moan Broadcast Center.